You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast, looking at the Premier League games this weekend. It's myself, Dave Callner, here in the studio alongside Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And Derek McGovern is on the line as well. Good morning, Derek.
Good day.
We've got the nap standings as well.
Should we do them at the end of the podcast?
Yeah, let's do them at the end of the podcast.
Yes, let's do them at the end. I can just hear the bell, by the way. The bell's gone for the final lap. So I think I'm just about to get into my stride. You know, like Mo Farah hangs on the shoulder a little bit.
I think the bell tolled a while ago for you, Mr.
I am Mo Farah. The bell has tolled. Records are about to be smashed.
A final lap.
Stay with me, guys.
I can lap you a second time.
Stay with me, listeners. We're going to have a lovely run into the end of the season.
Let's get stuck into this weekend's football then. 10 live Premier League matches, and we'll start off on Saturday afternoon, 12:45 p.m. kickoff, with Leicester versus Newcastle. Leicester 10-11, the draw 5-2, and Newcastle in the market at 3-1. Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win is 3-1, and Emmanuel Riviere to score and Newcastle to win in the market at 10-1. Derek, Newcastle into 12-1 now to be relegated after losing 7 straight in the Premier League following that 3-2 loss against Swansea last weekend. They need to probably pick up one more point, but they've got a pretty kind running, in all honesty, Derek. It doesn't look difficult, but it's tough to know where their next point is coming from.
Would you like to rephrase that question? Are you an emu? Well, it is. And, you know, there must come a time, you think, you know, is a team like Newcastle, you know, moderate though they are, going to lose 11 games straight, or is it 12 to finish the season? I'd say yes, because that's how bad they're playing right now. And, you know, Leicester are odds on. And a couple of weeks ago, there's not a cat in hell's chance that any of us would have gone for Leicester. But now they've got the momentum behind them. Newcastle is right at the top of the wish list of pick your own opponents. And I just can't see how the two are going to get anything here. They're playing like dead men. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that documentary in the week on the Mike Ashley business?
Sports Direct.
I mean, that was quite interesting. It shops boasts the £3 football, and his club boasts the £3 footballer, because that's how. I mean, who's going to be buying any of that lot at the end of the season? I honestly do believe Newcastle could go down this season. And, you know, that 150-1, what a great shout that was a few weeks ago by me, I think it was. Leicester will win this anyway. That's a save.
10-11, Leicester to win the game. Here's one for Derek as well. Newcastle gone just 12 minutes short of 7 hours of Premier League football away from home since they last scored. So they are struggling at both ends of the pitch at the moment, Newcastle.
Yeah, just desperate. I mean, there's nothing I can add to what Derek said really there. I mean, the list of players who are out, you can always tell a team who are struggling, Derek, can't you? By the amount of players who are on the sidelines, I think, you know, no one's desperate to play for this Newcastle team, I wouldn't imagine at the minute. You know, Perez, Riviere and Cabello, kind of the front three, but there's nothing really that frightens you there. I think the players who I think will move on to better things. I think Jan Mat's a good player, to be honest with you. I think Tiote could be a decent player, although the Newcastle fans aren't particularly happy with him. There's a couple of young lads in there, but they look like they're just bereft of anything, really. No passion, nothing going on there, and the fans are obviously up in arms about it. Cisse's last game, of course, banned, so yep. Still not many goals in this team. And Leicester, you know, I think they can just get back on it after that that Chelsea game, I honestly think you can just forget that game. Imagine it never happened and carry on with your season, because they were in great nick. You wonder if they'll just batten down the hatches a little bit here and just make sure they just get the points. No frills, get the points. Maybe something like a 1-0 or a 2-0 win for Leicester, because I can't see Newcastle scoring, if I'm being honest. I'm a bit, even though it is Newcastle, I'm a bit worried about backing Leicester at 10 to 11, though, to be fair. So I might play Leicester to win in under 2.5 goals in the game in this one. You know, kind of going back to that old idea of the drab lunchtimes. Now, I mean, it shouldn't be, because one of our colleagues here does the match announcing for Leicester City, and he says it's bouncing. He said it's unbelievable. He said he barely has to say anything to get the crowd going at the minute. So I think it will be really, they'll be really up for it. But the only thing Newcastle can do is be organised and try and remain intact for as long as they can. I think they might get away with that for a bit. So Leicester to win, under 2.5 goals for me, the 1-0 or the 2-0, and that's priced up at 3-1 here with William Hill.
It's just a quick one on that, Lee. It's interesting you should say that. I would actually, I might even play the under 1.5 at around about 11-4, because I think seven of Leicester's 16 home games this season have finished either 0-0 or 1-0 either way. And you're getting around 11-4, 3-1 each time, so you'd be in profit doing that.
Yeah, yeah, fair show.
What about Nigel Pearson as well, Derek? I mean,
well, I've never liked the guy. Ron speaks highly of him, doesn't he, Ron Atkinson?
Yeah, that's why I like him so much.
Well, I think of Ron, so I've always given Pearson the benefit of the doubt, not knowing him, but what a cloth he's made of himself all season long, really. I mean, he just appears a very arrogant bloke. And what kind of the stuff he came out, if he had a bone to pick with the reporter, come out with some banter. What's he on about? Ostriches and head in the sand? I mean, he sounds like a clown, honestly. He really does. But he's picking Leicester up just when they need it, so he must have something about him.
Yeah, I always wonder, Derek, you know, like, from afar, you know, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was amazing. You know, just ridiculous that it came out of that stuff. But I always think, as a player, you go in the next day, and I don't think he's precious, Nigel Pearson. I don't think he's one of them who would be like, I reckon the players would be in and there'd be pictures of ostriches and they'd be taking the mickey. I reckon,
you know. So?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they'd be like going up to his face and giving it'll lighten the mood a bit, wouldn't it?
It just seemed a bit vindictive, didn't
it? Was
it?
Weird.
Like he was bullying the fellow that was asking the question. It just didn't seem right, really.
Well, it didn't. I mean, being a journalist, you put yourself in that, what would you do in that position if you were to, would you answer
cringe,
back or would you just take
cringe.
It? Well, exactly. Or just round up your eggs and leg out of there at 70 miles an hour.
You always know that you're up against it, because he's got the mic and you haven't. That's
exactly.
The other thing, because no one can hear what you're saying. I mean, he was trying, but I mean, the worst bit of it for me, having been in, not in that kind of situation, but similar situations where you're in a packed, I once was in a packed press conference at Leeds United when they were in the Premier League, and Terry Venables was the manager, and I had a big old winter coat on, you know, one of them ones with a big furry hood.
Yeah.
And he walked into the room, and obviously we saw him every week, whether it was a big press conference or just in his office. So he kind of knew me, you know, as one of the local guys. And as soon as he walked through the door, he fixed his eyes on my coat and ripped my coat for the next 2 or 3 minutes in front of this room of Sky and BB, everyone. You know, I don't mind all that. I mean, I didn't give him any back, to be fair, because it was Terry Venables. But, you know, so you kind of get in that situation. But the worst bit for me was when he said, all right, ask the question. Go on, ask the question. And the guy was a bit like, a bit flustered. He went, and then he went, you can't do that.
That's
just rude. I mean, the ostrich thing, but I get that a lot here, though, with DK. Some of the questions. You just get exasperated.
You've not worn that coat since, have you?
No, I haven't.
Obviously.
I burnt it in the outside.
So Leicester 10-11, the draw 5-2, Newcastle 3-1, both with Leicester here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Leicester, I'll go Leicester under 2.5.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at Manchester United versus West Brom, which is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening. Manchester United 2-5 to win this game. The draw 7-2, and West Brom in the market at 7-1. Headline offers: Marouan Fellaini to score and Man United to win is 3-1. Brown Adeyi to score and West Brom to win is in the market at 20s. Lee, Man United's performance against Everton, bitterly disappointing, really. It was like watching them a couple of months ago. Had a lot of possession, but they did absolutely nothing with it, really, and got beat 3-0 in the end.
I think your question is absolutely... unbelievable. For you to ask that question, I think you're either being very, very silly... or you're being absolutely stupid.
That one, by the way, just to go back. What's the difference between very, very silly and extremely stupid? How far is that apart? the best one was, though, just... this is amazing.
If you don't know the answer to that question, then I think you are an ostrich.
But then it gets better.
Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand?
Are you flexible enough? That guy will never be asked that question again. Really. Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand? And then he followed up with, because I am.
What are you talking about?
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, son, but you are daft.
I'm sorry, son. Man U, they will bounce back here, surely. They haven't failed to score in three successive games since 2007, opted tellers, and they won't fail to score here. They love West Brom as opponents. And Wayne Rooney loves them as well, doesn't he? All those goals he scored against them. I hate to be boring here, guys, but I'm just going to go with the same old bet here. 9 out of 17 times it's landed at Old Trafford this season. This is the Man United to score two or more first half goals. Even when it doesn't land, it almost lands. And add to it the fact that West Brom have conceded more goals in the first 15 minutes of matches this season than any other team in the Premier League. 11 in the opening 15 minutes of matches. So plain old simple, Manchester United will win the game. They'll score two or more goals in the first half, and that is priced up at 11-4. It's the bet that won't move, the price that will not move.
He's unbelievable, Derek, isn't he?
9 out of 17. Tell me why I shouldn't back it, though.
But you've only tipped it on the other 8 occasions. I don't see United having a cakewalk here, because they haven't scored in two games, admittedly against decent opponents in Everton and Chelsea. But West Brom, since they had those blip games against Leicester and QPR, they haven't conceded a goal in two games against Palace and Liverpool. They actually won here last season, by the way, 2-1. They drew with United earlier in the season.
That's the only way. I think there's a record, isn't there, where they've won one of 21 league matches, and that's it.
Yeah. I can see what's going to happen. I can see, are West Brom safe? I'm 37 points.
Yeah.
They probably are. Yeah. But you imagine Poole saying, well, we might nick a point here. That's just, play defensive. That's his MO anyway. And I like this one, your correct score group betting with Hills. I think it's a great bet, this. United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, 7-5. That's great. Because United aren't going to steamroller anybody at the moment.
What did you make to Louis van Gaal's comments after that Everton game, saying that he noticed something wasn't quite right in the warm-up?
Yeah, hasn't that been said sometime earlier this season by some other manager?
Yeah, it was,
I can't remember who it was now. Some of the stuff he comes out with, you take with a pinch of salt, but, he's been around long enough, and maybe managers are experienced enough to notice something in the warm-up. Certainly United didn't look at it, did they, against Everton?
No.
And, you wouldn't want to be racking them at 2-5 against, doughty opponents like West Brom when there's that doubt in your mind that they're still not at it. Because what is it for United now, between now and the end of the season? I don't see there's that much in it for them, is there? They're going to finish fourth at worst.
Well, I suppose the only thing is, Derek, is how valuable is it qualifying outright for the Champions League rather than having to go through qualifying pre-season? So the fourth place gives you a qualifying spot, and the top three, obviously, you're straight in. I think if Manchester City had to qualify for the Champions League, I think that would be a bit of a come down. Arsenal are well used to it, aren't they? I think United would take that, but obviously you'd rather fight to not do that, wouldn't you, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, you've got that, but then you think, yeah, should we fight for that or just have it easy for the last four games of the season? And the manager has to pay lip service to that, but the players are the ones who do it or don't do it, as the case may be. And I just got a suspicion that, United might be easing off.
You sound like, if you were in that situation, Derek, you'd be easing off now.
Too right it would be.
Man United in the market at 2-5 to win the game. The draw 7-2, West Brom in the betting at 7-1 for this tea time kickoff on Saturday afternoon.
I was trying to find who that. I think it was an international match day. When they blamed the warm up. I'm racking my brain now to think who it was.
I can't remember.
I don't think it was a Premier League manager, but it's a bad excuse.
Oh, it's
bad excuse.
You'd think the manager would be able to do something about it, if he sees something like that happening in the warm up as well.
Yeah.
Rectify it quickly.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Chelsea versus Crystal Palace is the live lunchtime kickoff on Sunday afternoon, 1:30 p.m. Chelsea 4-11, the draw 19-5. Crystal Palace in the betting at 15-2. Chelsea 13 points clear at the top now, and they'll win the title with a win against Crystal Palace after beating Leicester 3-1 on Wednesday night. That record, Derek, that Jose Mourinho has at Stamford Bridge is incredible. 95 Premier League games, he's won 74, drawn 20 and lost 1. He's been accused of producing boring teams in the press, but there's no doubt in their winning teams, and they've annihilated the rest in the Premier League this season, really.
Yeah, well, you question the other teams, don't you? I mean, you can't pick holes in Chelsea because they haven't really been great since about January or February, but they keep winning. If the other teams are chasing pack, you've got to question more, I think. And have you ever gone to back a team of 4-11 in the Premier League? I'm surprised they're so big as that, to be honest. They're playing Palace, who have given up for the season. Two shocking results and performances by Palace against West Brom and Hull. And Chelsea are 4-11 for a game against a team that won't turn up that's going to win them a title. It's actually mortgage material. If you're the type to back long odds on, you just fill your boots with this because there's no possibility of any other scoreline but a Chelsea win.
Yeah, I 4-11 doesn't. I thought they'd be shorter than 4-11.
I thought they'd be about 1-6.
Yeah, I thought they'd 1-5, 1-6.
Yeah, I'll go on every hack of this, won't it?
This will be clipped out for the bloopers at the end of the season as well.
Palace win 4-3 or something. I mean, Palace have been, just to put the other argument forward, which I don't necessarily believe in, Crystal Palace have been much better away from home under Pardew, haven't they, than they have been at home. Scoring goals for fun. I mean, 3 at Burnley, 3 at Southampton in the Cup, 1 at Leicester, 3 at West Ham, 2 at Stoke, 4 at Sunderland. The only game where they haven't scored was at Southampton, who have the other best defence in the division apart from Chelsea. You could just see... It's hard predicting what Mourinho will set his team up to do here. I mean, I sense that in midweek that after all the kind of boring Chelsea stuff, that he might send his team out to really have a go at Leicester. It actually took for Leicester to score for them to wake up, and then they did entertain. I wonder if they'll go out here and entertain, or is Mourinho too bloody minded to do that? And are we just set for an absolutely rock solid 2-0 Jose Mourinho win? I kind of lean towards that side of it, to be fair, because that's what he's like. I do like this headline offer of Hazard to score first and Chelsea to win at 5-1. I know it sounds a bit daft, but player of the year, obviously, you know, the great team spirit there. Obviously, they're going to win the title. They'll want him to score. You know, obviously, him to score at any time, I think, is a nice bet anyway, because with the lack of strikers they've got at the minute. 10-11 to score at any time, Eden Hazard. But yeah, I'll have a little risk on that. Eden Hazard to score first and Chelsea to win at 5-1. That's in the one of the three headline offers there. Because it'd be fitting for him to score in this game. And if it is only a 2-0, then you've got a decent chance of that copping.
5-1 for Chelsea to win the game 2-0. Sunday tea time, 4 p.m. kickoff is Tottenham versus Manchester City. Tottenham 11-4, the draw 23-10. Man City in the betting at 21-20. Lee, I think this is one of the prices of the weekend.
Yeah.
Tottenham at 11-4 to beat Man City. They look overpriced here. Man City aren't playing well at the moment.
No, they're not. Look at their away form is dreadful, isn't it? You know, they've lost 4 games on the spin away from home in the Premier League, and you know, you think, well, yeah, right. They lost at Man United, they lost at Liverpool, but then look at the other two teams who they've lost against. You know, this is dreadful form. Losing against Burnley and Crystal Palace, not scoring against Burnley, being outscored by Palace is shocking form. The price is fantastic. Look, 11-4 in Tottenham. You can't trust Tottenham, I don't think, that well, but yep. I don't think you have to worry too much with a price like 11-4. You can risk the fact that they might not turn up. I must admit, I think there'll be a lot of goals in this. You look at all the Opta stats around this game. Manuel Pellegrini's seen his side score 15 goals in the last 3 Premier League games against Spurs. There's been at least 4 goals in each match as well between the two of them. Aguero's netted 9 in 6 against Spurs. Dzeko scored 6 in 6 against Tottenham. 4 of them did come in one game, admittedly. Tottenham have kept 1 clean sheet in the last 11 Premier League outings. It screams goals to me, this one. And I'm going to pick another headline off here. I like that Kane and Aguero to both score at 5-1. Two best strikers in the English game this season, arguably. All right, Costa would have something to say about that, but you know, his injuries have cost him probably the top goal scorer at birth. So I'm going to play that. I think it'll be an entertaining game. I think there'll be plenty of goals. Look, I've been putting up Sergio Aguero to score first the last couple of weeks. The first week it was an own goal first, and then he scored the second goal, so you get landed. Last week it was a howler, wasn't it? That gifted in that first goal. So maybe living on your luck a little bit there. But he's 7-2 to score first again, by the way. But yeah, the headline offer, Harry Kane, Sergio Aguero, both to score 5-1.
I must admit, Derek, I was surprised when I saw the prices for this match. You look at Tottenham's home record, that defeat against Aston Villa, first home defeat in the Premier League since November. They're a good side at home. Tottenham.
Well, they were 3-1 earlier this week, and I actually rubbed my eyes. I thought, what's going on? That can't be right. I was just waiting for it. You know, it couldn't possibly be right. Well, they shortened to 11-4. Big deal. I mean, it's a fantastic part. I cannot understand. I really can't understand it. And it's not just Hill taking a punt on this. It's 11-4 across the board, 3-1 across the board, isn't it? What are they thinking? What are odds compilers thinking?
I mean, you know those... I don't think this is the reason, but did you see the Pochettino comments about not wanting to be in the Europa League? He said he didn't want to be in the Europa League this year. He don't want to be in it next year either, he said. But I mean, if they're in it, they're in it. I don't think they can avoid the Europa League.
No, they
you
can't.
Know, obviously, when you look at the league tables, it goes down. Fifth place gets Europa League football. The cup final winners get Champions League football anyway, Chelsea, i.e. and Arsenal. Let's say Arsenal win it. That means the next two down, sixth and seventh, get Europa League.
Yep.
And if English football finishes in the top three of the fair play list, eighth gets Europa League, and English football is third at the minute. So, you know, yeah. Tottenham are in it. Unless they bottom, you know, there's no way they can, like, you know, get overtaken by Swansea now, you wouldn't think. So, yeah. You know, I think they're in it anyway. And
even if that did play a factor, which it wouldn't, so no. Even if I genuinely didn't want to get in that competition. If you were going to, you wouldn't throw it at home against Man City. You know, you would not in front of your own fans, in other words. Basically, there's a chance maybe to take your eye off the ball away from home, but... You know, that's not a factor in this game. 11-4 is one of the bets of the season for Tottenham.
Tottenham to win that game 11-4. The draw 23-10, and Man City in the betting at 21-20. Monday night, Hull versus Arsenal, 8 p.m. kickoff. Hull in the betting at 9-2. The draw 5-2. Arsenal 7-10. Here with William Hill. A few weeks ago, Derek, you'd have said this was a formality for Arsenal. Hull had looked pretty toothless, in all honesty, but they found something in the last week with the win against Crystal Palace in midweek, followed by that home win against Liverpool, and they've met those two teams admittedly at the perfect time, haven't they? Palace and Liverpool.
Well, they might also meet Arsenal at the perfect time. Chelsea probably will have wrapped up the title by then, even if Arsenal still held up any hopes. And what, you know, again, what I said about Man United, I'd echo that against about Arsenal. Is there, you know, the anti-climax, playing on a Monday night against Hull, you've got everything to play for. I like the look of Hull here. Arsenal have won at Hull in the last few seasons, and I think they beat them earlier. No, they only drew 2-2 in the league game at the Emirates, but beat them in the Cup. But I wouldn't be backing Arsenal at short odds here. I really wouldn't. I just think there's going to be a huge sense of anti-climax for them on Monday night, whereas the opposite applies for Hull, because all of a sudden they're looking as though you know, one more win could do the business for them. They've got some tough games after this one, Hull. I mean, this is a tough one, obviously, but you know, the points aren't going to be easy for them between now and the end of the season. So if they can get another three here, you know, it's job done. 9-2 Hull is too big.
Okay. Hull, the bet for Derek at 9-2. We seem to sometimes, Lee, pigeonhole Arsenal as a team with a fantastically attacking team, and it's worth noting though that they haven't conceded a first half goal in their last 13 Premier League matches, which is an incredible statistic. Really.
It is, yeah, it is. You wonder how Hull will approach it, don't you? Because, you know, Derek mentioned that run in. They've got Burnley at home after this, Tottenham away, and Man United at home. So. Yeah, they must be focusing all their attention on Burnley. I mean, you could argue that they set up to defend here to the hilt and take a point. It moves them on to 35, which may well be enough. And then, you know, at least a point against Burnley, 36. You know, then they've got almost like two free games then to pick up another point if they can. But I think Arsenal will rip them. I think they'll go for it here, Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal always finish, you know, they always like to finish strongly. I think it's one of Wenger's things, where they finish strongly and go into the next season. I think they'll be looking to finish in the top three for definite, and second if they possibly can. Level on points with Man City as we record this, of course, with a three-goal inferior goal difference. Man United just 2 points behind them. So I think Arsenal will go for it. The one thing I've noticed about Arsenal, though, you know, looking back at their away form, is you know, how many. It's not particularly easy against the lesser clubs, and we've seen this before, haven't we? When you're backing Arsenal at the prices like this, that you're made to sweat for it. I mean, 7-10, people might think, oh, that's a great price. I can't back Arsenal odds on extends to every odds on price. They make you sweat too much. 2-1 against West Ham, 2-1 at Crystal Palace, 2-1 at QPR, 2-1 at Newcastle, 1-0 at Burnley.
Yep.
I'm going to go for, there's two ways of playing this, I think. You either play Arsenal to win by a goal,
Yes.
Which it's a bit you can't have that pre-match, really. I don't think we have the winning margin bets, but you have to do it on the handicap, don't you, with that match handicap tie business, which is a bit of a it's a bit of a hard one to explain, but it's basically Hull plus a goal versus Arsenal minus a goal. Yep. And that's effectively winning by one goal.
It is
a bit convoluted, 5-2. So why not take the Arsenal to win and both teams to score instead? That's probably the easiest way round of doing that bet, and that's 11-4. So it's bigger still. 11-4, Arsenal to win, both teams to score. We landed that in the Chelsea game, didn't we, midweek? For some reason, maybe it's just a bit of a psychological thing where they take the foot off the pedal a little bit. I can see Hull scoring
against the lesser teams. Yeah, with Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, Hull scored two against Chelsea. You know, they've been scoring goals at home. So yeah, I'll go with that. Arsenal to win, both teams to score at 11-4.
Hull are 9-2 to win the match. The draw 5-2. Arsenal 7-10. That's the Monday night kickoff at 8 p.m. Let's move on to the non-televised Premier League fixtures this weekend. We'll start off with West Ham versus Burnley. West Ham 5-4, the draw 11-5. Burnley in the market 23-10. Lead two badly out of form teams here. West Ham only two wins in their last 17 Premier League matches. Both of them did come at Upton Park. Burnley have failed to score in 7 of their last 8. Bottom of the table.
Tough game, this one. I think this is one of the two toughest games of the coupon for me. Just not knowing where West Ham are, you know. I think home advantage is a disadvantage for them in this occasion. But you listen to the phone-ins and the fans are livid. You know, they don't want Sam Allardyce there. Even if they were like in the top 4, I think they'd still be moaning about him. Don't like his brand of football. They've got injuries now. Players are kind of dropping by the wayside. You know, you get the feeling. They just don't seem to want to play anymore this season. I think that they're absolutely done. But are Burnley good enough to press them and get a win here? I'm not so sure, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, Burnley are only 23-10 as well. I honestly thought that they would be like, I was looking forward to the test of Derek's betting Bible here. Yeah. If Burnley were 3-1 or over. 23-10 is not big enough for me. I think Burnley will have a real good go like they have all season. I don't think West Ham are motivated enough to win the game. So I'm just going to be a little boring here and go for 11-5 the draw. I think 1-1's a reasonable looking score. Burnley don't score goals very often. A tricky game to call here. I'll go for the draw, 11-5.
Okay, this is a must win for Burnley. Yeah. It goes without saying, Derek. But as we've seen recently with them, necessity doesn't necessarily produce performances, and they've not been producing at the moment.
No, but you look at their recent run of fixtures. Last week's defeat at home to Leicester was a bad one, but you know it is a fired up Leicester at the moment. But before that, they played City, Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal, and Everton. You know, they're entitled, a team like Burnley, to come up empty-handed after that. But in fact, they beat Manchester City. Now, this is a team that beat Man City, who still had a chance of winning the title then, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, they're playing West Ham, who have given up the ghost a long time ago. And in fact, you know, in the last 17 games, poor though Burnley's haul has been, they've got as many points in the last 17 games as West Ham.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're 5-2 as near as damn it. I think Burnley are a decent bet here. It's a huge worry that they're finding hard goals hard to come by. But they'll never have a better chance against this team who have just given up. So, yeah, Burnley for me.
Yeah. We've been having these special bets on how goals are scored recently. If they appear in this game, it's usually in the other markets section, so you can back a player to score a header and all that sort of stuff. We know that West Ham have been the best headers.
Headers.
I always struggle with that, don't I? The best headers in the Premier League. More headed goals than anyone else, 15. 33% of the goals that Burnley have conceded have been from headers. So if you get one of those, then it might be worth a little sneaky one.
Let's move on to Aston Villa versus Everton. 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Aston Villa 17-10. The draw's 21-10. Everton in the market at 17-10. Headline offers here: Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 3-1. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win 6-1. I think, Derek, there's a general feeling that Aston Villa are safe, but they're not, are they yet?
Well, that's incredible you should say that, because my opening gambit was about to say, when I looked at the league table, I was startled by how precarious Villa's position is. I just thought, you know, when he got those couple of decent results a couple of weeks ago, I thought, that's it, job done for them. But they really had only got 32 points.
The funny thing is, Derek, is that when you listen to Robbie on 606, one week he's like, yeah, Villa are down, you know, because he's quite... you know, he's quite definite in his opinion.
He is.
Next week he's like, oh, Villa safe. And to be fair, Darren Fletcher does a show with him every week. We're like, they were down last week, Robbie. Yeah, they're safe now. And then I heard him last week going, yeah, I mean, they're still in bother, aren't they? Yeah. It's like, come
he
on!
He did it early on in the season with Liverpool and Manchester United, where he was convinced that Liverpool couldn't possibly get beat in that game against Manchester United. And the next week it was... Yeah, they'll
here's
finish
why Liverpool are crap.
Yeah, they'll finish above Liverpool now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're Sunderland, you know, everyone's saying Sunderland are down, right? They're 2 points behind Villa with a game in hand.
Yeah.
You know, and they're third from bottom, Sunderland.
That's run,
how bad Villa's position is.
Yeah.
So, this is a tough figure. Both teams, you're probably, these two sides are playing, Villa and Everton are playing as well now as they've played all season long.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's great news for Villa. I can't explain why Everton are doing that when there's nothing at stake for them. This is probably the other game you had in mind, Lee, when you said there's a couple of games that's impossible to score.
No, it's the other one was Stoke, actually.
There's a third, yeah. I really don't know how to call this one. I suspect Villa might be happy with a point, but that's not the way they play nowadays, is it, under Tim Sherwood?
No.
But Everton were excellent last week against Man United. Mm. I'm troubled by this fixture. I really haven't got a strong opinion, and if forced, I'd go for the draw.
Mm. Okay, the draw is in the betting at 21-10. There have been big changes under Tim Sherwood.
Yeah.
Many people highlighting the motivation under Sherwood. But what's increased is they're averaging a goal every six shots under Tim Sherwood, whereas it was one every 16 under Paul Lambert. They're just converting.
Yeah, and the man who's converting them is Christian Benteke. You would have been unlucky if you'd have backed him last week because... and Derek was unlucky as well. Remember Derek's knack last week was 11-1 Aston Villa.
They 2-2.
They had that, you know, Benteke was through. It should have been a red card. He would have probably notched the penalty as well. So, you know, no reason not to back Benteke again here. I'd go for the draw as well, but I'm not really concerned with the outrights here. Tim Sherwood will set his team up to go and try and win this game. We've seen nothing else from him than that. Everton, obviously, growing in confidence game after game. After a pretty barren spell of a lack of goals away from home, they've scored at QPR, they've scored at Swansea. I think both teams score. I think over 2.5 goals will feature, and that's my bet. The both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at 13-10.
The like over 2.5 is not bad.
No, not at all.
Odds against there, 21-20.
Yeah, I just can't see anyone keeping a clean sheet here, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Villa will go for it. They have to go for it. Like, as he keeps saying to us, this team's not set up to defend. So, yeah, I think they'll have a right go. And if you want to throw in Benteke, by the way, another one, if it is a game full of goals, then Agbonlahor's worth a look. 7 goals against Everton, more than he's managed against any other club as well. He made his Premier League debut against them and scored in that game as well. You know, there seems to be something about this, doesn't there, when a player has a favourite opponent, if you like.
Yeah.
It always seems to turn out that they have a good game against them. So, just goals in this one.
On to the battle for eighth place, then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Swansea versus Stoke next up. Swansea 13-10, the draw 11-5. Stoke are 11-5. Lee, Swansea won at Newcastle last week, but Stoke haven't lost since the beginning of April. That was against Chelsea. We talk about teams downing tools on the podcast on occasion, but neither of these teams have, and I think that's down to the managers more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Robbie used to do the podcast, Derek, I remember him telling us a story once about how much money they get per place. And it's easy for us to sit here and go, down tools. They get about £1 million extra prize money per place.
Now the club does.
The club does. But Robbie said that went to the players.
Really?
The players, it was divided. And then he said, well, that's why you would carry on trying. Well, I mean, you know, you don't know how it's divvied up, but you're probably looking at somewhere in the region of 20 to 30 grand, I guess. If it's divvied up equally amongst players, it might not be. Now, that's worth having in anyone's book. You know what I mean? That's, you know, even to a Premier League footballer, that's worth
it.
And the thing about Stoke is, every single season, you get these stories coming out of Stoke. They're the first ones to say, yeah, this is our best ever league position. Yeah, this is our best ever points tally. They seem to love that. They seem to thrive on that. Now, Mark Hughes has got the chance here to equal Stoke's best ever points total at 50 points. And obviously they can go past that. If they win the game, they would also leapfrog Swansea into eighth. I think of the two teams and the way they play, I think Stoke City have the more motivation in this game. Swansea without Gomez again. You know, they're struggling for goals generally. I know they scored 3 at Newcastle, but, you know, that I think we're talking about a special case at Newcastle at the moment. And I think Stoke at 11-5 are worth backing.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I think Stoke have got something about them. The problem with them, and you know, is that they have a lot of chances and they have nice football. They don't convert enough. Their shots to goal ratio is pretty poor. But yeah, I'm going to have a little chance on this one. The problem is that the draw's the same price and I can't get it out of my eyeline.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's a tough one to call, but I'm just going to give Stoke the edge here. Just a tiny bit more motivation and their style of play might just unsettle Swansea a little bit.
Yeah. Derek?
Well, Stoke have been as underrated all season as Southampton have been overrated. And they've done me a few favours a few times. But this, I disagree with all that you said about what Robbie had to say about the, you know, 30 grand a man, whatever, for points. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't. West Ham wouldn't be taking the foot off the gas.
Well, I don't know.
Crystal Palace wouldn't be doing it.
I suppose the fact. I mean, maybe with West Ham, it's something different, though. Maybe they're just falling out of love with the manager.
That's not an isolated case, though, Lee, is it? There's, no. You know, every season, there's teams that take the foot off the gas.
But Stoke never seem to take the foot off the gas, do they?
Well, I mean,
they're a hard-working team, you know. And Hughes seems to be the kind of guy who wants to keep them going right till the end.
Well, I think this is a fixture. You know, all right, the battle for eight, but I don't think there's too much at stake for either side. And you know, I always say last weekend there were 3-0 draws in the Premier League. Yeah. And at this stage of the season, it's always a result to look at for two reasons. Firstly, the fear factor with teams fighting against relegation. They don't want to make a mistake. So that always comes into play. But in games like this, it takes an effort in the Premier League to score a goal. Someone has to be prepared to make a lung-busting run. It's not, they don't come easy. And when there's no motivation, I always think a 0-0 draw is always a possible result. 15-2 in this game, and I'm going to go for that.
Yeah.
If you want to play a bit safer, go on the unders 1.5, which is about 11-4, I think. But I can see this. I mean, the Arsenal-Chelsea game last week was, in my eyes, a nailed-on 0-0 draw. And sure, you know, I'm surprised there were that many goals in it. It was such a stinker. And this is another one. I like the look of this one.
Swansea 13-10 to win the game. The draw 11-5. Stoke are 11-5. On to Liverpool versus QPR. Liverpool 2-5. The draw 7-2. QPR in the betting at 7-1. Derek, Liverpool's season pretty much over now after that 1-0 defeat at Hull midweek. What's gone wrong at Liverpool?
Well, there's too many ordinary players in the team. And even when they went through that good run, I can't remember, was it the turn of the year? They went so many games unbeaten and they were playing well. But you just sense that they're playing above themselves here and it can't last because the manpower they've got, it just isn't good enough. I mean, don't get me started. My start on my mate Balotelli.
Oh.
I did a piece in the Mirror earlier this week. You know, he started 10 games for Liverpool. Mm. And of those 10 games he started, they've lost 5 and drawn 3. So they've actually got 9 points from 10 games, which is relegation form, isn't it? 36 points less than that it brings you at the end of the season if you kept that up. And yet he still gets a game. As soon as he's on the team sheet, I back the opponent. Seriously, you're playing with a man short when you've got him. And Liverpool have got enough short men as it is with the, you know, with the Diddy men they've got up there. I'm going to go for QPR here at 7-1 because Liverpool deserve the bad result they've been getting because they're just not playing well. And in fact, the only bright spot they've had in the recent few weeks is that result against Newcastle. But even then, I watched that game, and even then, Newcastle gave them a couple of frights.
Yeah.
Mm. So 2-5 against a team who were fighting for their lives. Turn it in. QPR all day long.
Balotelli, I don't like to say, you know, criticise, you know, footballers or football managers too much. You don't know the world they live in, but I'm pretty confident in saying that he's stealing a living.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on there. You look at these Octostats, isn't it, DK, about him this week that we've been handed, and they're absolutely staggering at how he's got one goal to his name in, wait for it, Derek, 940 Premier League minutes of action. That's from 56 shots. Now, if this guy is supposed to be, you know, capable, even capable of living on the same pitch as someone like Ibrahimovic or Ronaldo and Messi, and that has been said of him before, remember?
Yeah.
I don't
only by him.
No, by managers. I mean, Roberto Mancini was full of praise for him.
I can't understand how managers have fancied him. I can't understand how so many hotties have fancied him as well, by the way. I mean, he's been at Anfield 9 months and no one can remember a thing he's done.
No.
I'll tell you what he's done. Liverpool out of 16 million quid. That's what he's done. I mean, it's just... Words fail me. He is stealing a living. And to be honest, it's not just this 9 months at Liverpool he's been stealing a living. I cannot remember a single thing this man has done on a football pitch. Where's this great player?
I don't know. It's amazing, isn't it? I'll tell you the answer to your other question, DK. You asked Derek what's gone wrong at Liverpool.
Yeah.
They've lost 52 goals. Suarez and Sturridge scored 52 goals in the Premier League between them last season. Liverpool scored 47 goals this season in total.
Yes.
That's what's gone wrong. You know, Sterling's their leading scorer. He's not in the league. He's not an out-and-out striker. He's not played up front every single game of the season. You know, they've lost major players. You know, Sturridge is going to the States again this weekend, we're told, to have more more exploratory like work done on this hip problem now. Is this guy ever going to come back to the field? You've got to wonder, haven't you? Have we seen his best season and that's it? He's got seems to have some really bad injuries, and we know what happens to players. So they need to do some serious strengthening in the close season. Or Liverpool are just a Tottenham, and they're just going to float around the Champions League places. They'll flirt with it every year. They'll nearly get there, then they'll get pipped away, because it's only going to get harder now, Derek, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chelsea, fantastic under Mourinho. Whatever you think of them, great team. Man City, whatever they do, they will strengthen. They'll spend money. They've got brilliant players. Arsenal are always there, and Man United are only getting stronger now. So, to break into that top four again, it's almost like Liverpool have missed their opportunity.
Yeah.
They had their opportunity last season. They let Suarez go, or Suarez went, and now that now they're back in amongst the rest of them. I mean, you cannot back them in this game at 2-5.
That's a joke.
That
price
is absolutely unbelievable. Now QPR, at some point, like Burnley, have to start going for it. They're 3 points away from Sunderland, 4 from safety now, and they've got a worse goal difference than Leicester. It's better than Villa's, but a lot worse than Hull's. So you could argue that they need to find 5 points from somewhere, and I think they need to attack. We know that they can attack. It's just whether they will. I think they'll have a go at this, and I think that'll mean Liverpool can respond and Liverpool can sit in a little bit. I was looking at the overs and the goals, because Liverpool have been pretty cagey recently in trying to go back to basics. Over 2.5 is 4-7, though, which, I'm honestly, it's not often that I struggle to find a bet in a game. I'm struggling here. I think even Coutinho at 13-10, I mean, he's not that kind of player who scores for fun.
Well, I think I'll
go for Charlie Austin at 23-10.
Well, he's 9-1 to score first, This is the striker of the opposing team who I'm giving a good chance of winning the game.
Yeah.
And 9-1 compared to Balotelli, 7-2.
Ah, I mean, there's no question on those two prizes. And we know, we've quoted these stats a lot this year. He scored, half of their goals this season, effectively, in the Premier League, Charlie Austin. So, yeah, I mean, I'll play the 23-10, but I wouldn't play anyone off the 9-1.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers, Derek, will be there at the start of next season?
Yeah, well, I think he's got enough credit in the bank after what he did last season. I mean, it was Suarez inspired, but he was still at the helm. And, for Liverpool to have made a real challenge for the title, you look at their squad now, how did they do that? Was Suarez out of this world?
I think he was. Well, I think there's a lot of things there. When you've got a player like that, the opposition sink back a bit, don't they? You're playing different types of opposition every week. There's no fear in Liverpool, is there now? Why would you sit back? You'd push forward against them and pressure them into making mistakes. And, Gerrard's a year older. I think Gerrard and Suarez were phenomenal together, I thought, last season. So, yeah, lots of losing a player of it. I mean, you have to watch him for Barca at the minute. He's back where he was, isn't he, basically? He's probably going to win the Champions League as well.
Yeah.
The last game this weekend, Sunderland versus Southampton. Sunderland 3-1, the draw 2-1, Southampton in the market at 11-10, and revenge could be on the minds of some of these Sunderland players. Southampton beat them 8-0 back in October, and it wouldn't surprise me if Dick Advocaat reminds the Sunderland players of that in the lead up to this match.
Yeah, hopefully they won't need reminding, will they? That was one of those two unbelievably bad performances that they've put in this season, where they've literally just given up during a game, which is unforgivable from any footballer at any level, in my book. I think they might win this game. I think 3-1 at home with a team who, I know, as you said earlier, DK, in another match preview, necessity doesn't mean you're going to get the result, but they have to go for it. They have to try and win the game. I've not been against Southampton the way Derek has been for most of the season, but obviously the prices have been pretty poor. Ironically enough, this time the odds are against it, 21-20. But I still want to oppose them. The problem for them is that Schneiderlin's out for the season now. Tadic is out for the season. Two of their most influential forward-thinking players. Pelé, we know, hasn't been in great nick. They're conceding goals now away from home, which they haven't been doing most of the season. Remember, we've been quoting all season long.
He's come back into a bit of form, Graziano Pelé.
A bit, yeah, but not enough for me. And I don't think without Tadic and without Schneidling, without that the ability to feed him, then I think, you know, I don't think they'll score is what I'm trying to say here. They've still got the best away defence in the league, by the way. 14 goals they've conceded. But, you know, you look at... They've been conceding quite a few lately. They've conceded 5 in the last 4 games against West Brom, Chelsea, Everton and Stoke. 2 at Stoke. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Sunderland to win this. I mean, I'm not basing it on much other than the price and the fact I think Southampton might finally be done.
OK. It's Sunderland for Lee at 3-1. Derek?
Yeah, well, it's again like the Tottenham price. I thought I couldn't quite believe against Man City. I can't believe this either. 3-1 Sunderland. Okay, we know what a Sunderland, a deeply moderate side. Well, Southampton again being vastly overrated, and I sense too that they have given up the ghost for the season as well. There's not much in it for them now, is there? There's everything in it for Sunderland, and you know bad though Sunderland are. You know, they are capable on occasions of digging out a performance. Basically, it's the price. I mean, if they were 6-4, I wouldn't be going for them. But the 3-1 in a game, they've got to win against opponents who might not be at it. Too big.
Good stuff. Sunderland for both, Derek and Lee at 3-1. Let's talk naps then, Mr. Phelps. You've got the table.
Yes, bringing up the rear is me on 54-34. DK, you're on 161-50 after 3 successive winning naps. Congratulations. And
thank
Derek's
you.
Still out in front with 254-50. Reminder, if you're wondering how the hell we got to those totals, them two anyway, on our special naps table, you get your stake back.
You do.
Woo, yeah.
You do.
Yeah, but we haven't been doing it the whole season, though, have we? We've only been, you know, it hasn't been a full season long.
No, we started after about five weeks.
Please, you mentioned that, Derek. If we had been doing it for the full season, I'd have 50 more quid on my total. I wouldn't be looking quite as bad, but you guys ripped that off me when you rejoined the
pool. Even with Lee Phelps' special way of working out the totals, there's still a chance that he can finish in deficit this season.
No. What did I say? The bell has gone. Final lap. Here we go. Watch me fly past you.
What's your nap this weekend?
Manchester United to score over 1.5 goals in the first half against West Brom at 11-4.
It's back.
Read it and weep.
It's back. Can I go next, Derek?
Yeah, you're going to steal Tottenham from me.
I've got to steal Tottenham.
Should we do a toss of the coin here?
Do you want to toss the coin? Do you want Tottenham as well, Derek?
You can have Tottenham.
Okay, I'll take Tottenham at 11-4 then.
I can't believe you're giving them a chance.
I love that price. I do love that price at 11-4.
This could be a life changer.
It could. Derek, your bet?
Tempted by Sunderland to beat Southampton. I'll go for Hull to beat Arsenal, 9-2.
Wow.
You're throwing them out there.
Hull to beat Arsenal, 9-2. That treble, by the way, Tottenham 11-4, over 1.5 goals in the first half in Manchester United versus West Brom. That's Manchester United goals, by the way, 11-4. And Hull to win at 9-2, 76.34-1.
Very nice.
Play it as a Trixie. Remember, play it as a Trixie. I think he's got a good chance, though, this week as well. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure, lads. See
thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you very much. Should we finish off with a bit of the one and only Nigel Pearson?
I think we've got to.
The week does belong to him, doesn't it, to be fair? He can only finish with this.
If you don't know the answer to that question, then I think you are an ostrich.
You are an ostrich. Derek, you're definitely an ostrich. Thank you for your company.
I'm going to bury my head in the sand. Goodbye.
Cheers, Derek.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps. Remember, thank you for listening to the podcast and downloading as well. You can get us on iTunes and audioboom.com just by typing in William Hill. And we'll have a midweek punt podcast with
Champions League semi-finals.
The Champions League semi-finals on Monday. And, of course, myself, Lee and Derek will be back next weekend for the Premier League fixtures as well. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.